AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. Court action today, 6 months after a deadly mass shooting.
19-year-old self-declared white supremacist Peyton Gentron has pleaded guilty to fatally shooting 10 black people in a Buffalo, New York supermarket last May. He also pleaded guilty to a hate crime charge.
We do not have a death penalty in New York State, so the life without parole is, in fact, the highest charge we have. And he got that automatically.
Erie County District Attorney John Flynn, the gunman used an assault rifle and drove more than 200 miles from his home to commit the murders. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
And the white gunman still faces a federal hate crime case and, if convicted, could face a possible death sentence. A boil water order is trouble for more than 2 million people in the Houston area. Mayor Sylvester Turner says a power outage caused low pressure at a water purification plant.
We would love to see schools resume, businesses continue to function and open up, and if there are any surgeries that are having to be postponed, hopefully they can proceed on tomorrow.
Well, so far, any damage has been contained as Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano has erupted for the first time in 4 decades. But Ken Hahn of the U.S. Geological Survey says the situation will be watched closely.
It's going to be very fluid and fast-moving lava.
Overseas, China's government has faced some of the largest public protests in decades.
Xi Jinping!
It's all about strict COVID-19 pandemic policies.
I'm Stephen Portnoy. A White House spokesperson says it has been and would be very difficult for China to contain the virus through its zero COVID strategy. Backing the rights of peaceful protesters, the Biden administration says it is focused on what works in preventing COVID spread, including the use of vaccines and boosters. Beijing has refused to adopt the vaccines Americans have taken in favor of shots made in China that have proven less effective.
It's Cyber Monday as retailers offer deep discounts. Eric Matisoff of Adobe Analytics is keeping track.
Cyber Monday is going to be the best sale day of the entire season. For Cyber Monday, we're expecting discounts as high as 32% on computers. So if you're looking to get a computer, today is the day.
Merriam-Webster's word of the year is gaslighting. Lookups for the word increased 1,700% over the year before. Editor-at-large Peter Sokolowski.
It was not just a word associated with a single news event, but it was a word looked up frequently every single day of the year. And that volume pushed this word up to the top.
Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 350 points. The S&P is down 43. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
There's still time for business owners to claim their federal aid under the Employee Retention Tax Credit Program. Cash refunds of up to $26,000 per employee are available for employers who continue to pay their employees during the COVID epidemic. Many businesses qualify and simply do not know it. All business types and industries may qualify. You can claim the credit even if you received a PPP loan. This is a cash payment and not a loan, and can be claimed now. The licensed CPAs and tax professionals at Ferguson, Teamar & Associates have been serving business owners across the country for over 15 years. The best part is that until you receive your cash payment, you don't pay us a dime. Our tax credit specialists are available now at 833-ERC-FILE, and your tax payment estimate is quick, easy, and free. That's 833-ERC-FILE to qualify you and your business for up to $26,000 per employee of free federal aid. Call us now at 833-ERC-FILE. That's 833-ERC-FILE.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win 2 value baskets and 2 concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Portage County Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. on Tuesday, November 29th in the Portage County Annex Conference Room 5. If there is inclement weather, the meeting will take place on Wednesday, November 30th at 4 p.m. in the same location. The Wisconsin Rapids Area Community Choir will be presenting Songs of the Season on Saturday, December 3rd at 4 p.m. at First Congregational Church, located at 311 2nd Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. This concert is free and will be recorded by Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. The choir has been performing for 19 years, with this as their first performance since December 2019 because of the pandemic. The group consists of 40 singers of all ages from Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding area. The choir is under the direction of Sid Cooper as conductor and Mary Englert as accompanist. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a high of 41. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance for snow showers, lows dip down to about 33. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, mixed precipitation likely, high of 41. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 41.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Champion Paul Noonan, who covers the Packers for the Shepherd Express and Acme Packing Company, and also hosts the weekly podcast Reporting as Eligible, which is on the Packers, and Milwaukee's Tailgate Podcast, which is on the Brewers. Paul Noonan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
So, am I silly for thinking that that was actually not terrible performance?
You're not silly for thinking that at all. Philadelphia, first of all, is one of the three best teams in football, without question, and easily the best team in the NFC. And hanging with them for this long is impressive. If this was a normal Packers season and we were rolling into this game as one of the other juggernauts in the NFC, this would be a really encouraging performance. And people would be talking about this is an NFC championship game showdown for later. That would have been a great preview of things. It's just that we come in with all these bad losses beforehand. And so it's just looks like another one on top of that. But yeah, a lot went right in this game, especially offensively, where we've looked better than we have in ages. So yeah, absolutely.
Was this their highest scoring game of the season?
I think it was. I should have the
scores. This is more of your realm than my realm, but I thought I heard one of the announcers say last night that we hadn't broken 19 points the whole season so far.
That's definitely not not the case. That I know for sure. I will pull it up on the side while I'm talking.
but I watched it. We turned it on, and having those immediate two goals, we go 13-0 within the first quarter, and then all of a sudden we're tied almost immediately. We go up with that. How much scoring there was in the first quarter alone? I was like, oh, okay. And granted, then our defense wasn't there, and we'll get into all of that. But then I also feel the big story I feel like that came out of last night, though it's on the good side, is how good Jordan Love looked.
Yeah, he did. This is definitely Jordan Love's best performance of his Packer career. And it was very small. There were not a ton of throws, but he's had just problems of various types every time he's been out there. And the last time he played significantly was just in mop-up duty and had four passes and a blowout. And when Jordan Love was drafted, he was drafted primarily because he had the strongest arm of that draft. He has an upper tier arm in terms of just sheer power. He had some accuracy problems in college. The last time he played, he was clearly working on his mechanics because that power wasn't there. And he was looking at his feet. Every time he backed up, he was shuffling. This was way better. This was such a marked improvement from last time we saw him. His footwork was better. He was hitting passes in the flat that even Aaron misses a good number of times. And that pass that he hits to Christian Watson, while not a super difficult throw over the middle, hit him right between the numbers, perfectly in stride, and that's why he scored. So it was a great performance from Love. Good to see that. Certainly good to see improvement from the guy.
Yeah. I feel like that was a thing as far as, are people now hoping that Aaron... No. It sounds like he's okay. And it was
oblique,
or even a punctured lung, right? Wasn't he worried about that too? So it sounds like he's okay.
Yeah, Yep, he'll be fine, I think, and probably play until they're they're not mathematically eliminated, by the way. 538 has these projections you can run on just odds for the rest of the season. And their odds, if the Packers should go undefeated the rest of the season and wind up at 9-8, are 45% to make the playoffs, which seems ridiculous, but is apparently true. So Aaron will probably be out there until they're
done.
Yes, but they're not done yet, which is like they should be done, but they're not.
So I guess another thing I learned last night, so you can tell me if the announcer was wrong, but I don't think he was this time, was that Jalen Hurts was drafted the same year as Jordan Love behind Jordan Love.
Also, yes.
And wow, I'm so happy I have that guy on my fantasy football team. That was the only silver lining for me last night because we just couldn't stop him.
That's going to be a historically great quarterback class when people look back on it. That was Joe Burrow of Cincinnati, Tua Tagovailoa. Got to be careful when that was right. First time I've ever said it right. Of Miami and Tyler Huntley, who's Baltimore's backup, but was an undrafted free agent in that class and also really, really good. I believe Justin Herbert was in that class, San Diego starter. And then Jalen Hurts was after Love. Love was the next one after Herbert. Then it was Hurts. I actually liked Hurts better in that draft. He was a more accurate college passer than Love's big problem was just accuracy. It's tricky to overcome that with prospects. That's kind of the best projector of college quarterbacks to the NFL. And he was like the 56th most accurate quarterback passing that year. Love was. Hurts was like fourth.
And can run like that.
And can run like that as well. As an elite athlete to boot, in addition to being a great pocket passer. So, he was a late second round pick. I kind of wish we had him instead, but what are you going to do?
It is what it is. But another good, we're still focusing on the good stuff. I just want to play this as what someone played after Christian Watson grabbed that or got the pass from Love and turned around and ran. Someone tweeted this out, and I think it's exactly how we all feel about Christian Watson running.
He's fast. He's really, really fast. I mean, he's so fast. He makes fast people look not fast.
I got it. He's fast.
He's very fast.
Yep. By the way, the person who tweeted that out is Tyler Brook, who is on my podcast fairly regularly, about every other time.
So. Small Packers pundit world.
Yes, indeed.
I think that has been probably the highlight of the season so far, is watching him get better and how good he could grow into being, right?
Yes, absolutely. They picked him. He's a second round pick. There's this big thing that Aaron Rodgers just doesn't have a lot of first round picks in his history because Jordy Nelson was a second round, a lot of second round guys. And he was the first pick of the second round, but they traded up. I count him as a first rounder. And I just keep wondering if they would have just played him a little earlier, more consistently, if they maybe wouldn't be in this position right now. Because that raw speed is just incredible. Yeah. He's just so much faster than everybody else on the field. And on that touchdown, he was outrunning other players with like 4.4 40s and just making them look like they were standing still. Seeing him actually, utilized in the offense after really being frozen out by Aaron and injured for the first half. It's great to see the progress, but also just kind of wonder what could have been if they would have gotten him going a little bit earlier than this too.
Yeah.
But fantastic game. One of the best stretches that any Packer receivers ever had with 6 touchdowns in 3 games. Rookie or otherwise, Devontae is the only other person who's done that over a 3-game stretch, not as a rookie. So he's really been dominant and he's really, really difficult as a matchup for every other team. The Eagles actually have the best pass defense in the NFL. And so even though they were playing off a little bit by that point in the game and had a good lead, that's just a very impressive passing play, specifically given the defense they were facing.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of defense, our guest this half hour doing Packers pundit playback is Paul Noonan. It feels like our defense was once again the problem last night.
It was. This was a game between two defenses that can't stop the run. Philadelphia is good at everything except stopping the run. They ranked 26th coming into this game. Unfortunately, the Packers ranked 32nd. And there's only 32 teams in the league. You can't rank worse than 32nd. And it keeps biting them. And it's bitten them several times now. And this is a consistent problem with Joe Barry. He has never had a defense in his career as a defensive coordinator that's had a run defense ranked higher than 23rd for a season. Usually it's 27th or below. He's doing schematically, it just does no favors to his team for stopping the run. I know part of that's by design. He's a pass first guy, but you can't let a quarterback rush for 140 yards on you and also let his running backs just go for 100 a pop too. The defense just continues to be a problem. They can't get big stops when they need to. They're injury bitten a little bit, but it just looks like they can't even throw out their run stoppers and stop the run. TJ Slayton is supposed to be a run stopper, actually graded out well this game. When he's in there with Kenny Clark and with Devontae Wyatt, they should be good against the run, and they're just not. Those guys are there to do that specific job, and it still doesn't work. And the most worrying thing, I think, on that defense is Quay Walker, who was their first-round pick and an off-ball linebacker, and just never seems to hit the right hole or be in the right place to stop the run. He's very fast. He's a little undersized, but he seems to just get blown up a lot. And he plays a position where you shouldn't need that long to develop. Different positions take different amounts of time to actually get good. The off-ball linebacker spot is kind of just, you pick a gap. It's your responsibility. You hit it as hard as you can. It's not that much more complicated than that. And his struggles are really worrying considering the draft capital they spent on the guy.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking. I was like, well, so is this, when it comes to our defense, is this a coaching thing or is this a talent thing? Or, I mean, obviously it's some combination of both, but if you had to pick, which one is it more?
I really do think it's a coaching thing with the Packers specifically. Joe Barry has never been a good defensive coordinator in his career. And if we can tie this into what we're going to talk about a little later, but the Packers clearly wanted to hire Jim Leonard when they went out and ended up with Joe Barry. And Joe Barry, I think, was really a fallback, safe, comfort pick. He'd worked with Matt LaFleur in his previous spots. And he had experience as a coordinator, though those experiences weren't particularly good experiences. He was the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions when they went 0-16. He only got the job because he was married to the head coach's daughter. And he would parlay that into another DC job later for Washington, where, again, he was quite bad. So I think the Packers still have a very talented defense. They're getting occasional good production, even with lesser players. Like, their highest graded players in this game was like Rudy Ford, Justin Hollins, who just joined the team off waivers today. And normally they're talented. Like, Russell Douglas is good. Jair Alexander's very good. They're missing Rashawn Gary, but Preston Smith is still there. This is a very talented team. There's no excuse for them being the worst at anything with this level of talent. Scheme, I think, is a big problem. There's a few instances in this game where there were just cornerbacks not covering anybody. AJ Brown was just open with nobody over the top of him on a big third down play in this game. That's just a coaching mistake. Barry, I think, is probably not long for this world after this game. I think he's probably going to get the axe sooner than later.
Oh, you do? You don't think he'll finish the season?
If they finish the season with him, it's just to have candidates lined up and be able to make better decisions. If you fire him right now, you're putting an interim, probably Jerry Gray, in place for the end of the season. They can probably just let him finish it out if they want to, but there's been rumblings that LaFleur's not happy with the defense, and if they act sooner, I won't be that surprised.
Yeah. Well, and as you mentioned, Jim Leonard, who they wanted to have who they wanted to give that job to, now might be able to take it because they have announced a new Badgers coach. So we're going to talk about that with Paul Noonan when we come back from this break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy.
so we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
WAUKradio.com.
Sports go sports! I promise I really totally care who wins. If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are doing Packers Pundit Playback with Paul Noonan. You just love that song.
Love some Garfunkel and Oates. Good stuff.
And you know who it is, Paul. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but remember, Paul's a big like parody song person.
Oh, that's right.
We forgot. Yeah. We forgot to pull your song. Have you got any for this season yet?
I haven't, but I'm going to for Christmas.
So. Ooh, okay. Is JR going to sing it again? JR didn't sing it.
He did not sing. To keep his journalistic integrity intact, since it could be viewed as criticizing Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. It's kind of like, I'd say it's even,
but he lended some of his musical ability.
He's good at fitting things into the proper meter. And I can get good at writing the concepts and getting the basic meter down. But like in Aaron Rodgers' Instagram, there's a bridge in the middle that's really, really tricky. It would not have been nearly as good without him. So that's what he helped with.
Shout out to JR. Yes. So we talked a little, we ended the last segment speaking about Joe Barry and how long he will be around as the defensive coordinator for the Packers and the potential of the guy that they originally wanted, maybe getting the job because he is now out of a job, that man being Jim Leonard, who over the weekend it is announced that he will not be returning as the full-time head coach instead of the interim head coach for the Badgers football, and instead Cincinnati's Luke Fickell is going to take over. So did you have any reactions to thoughts about, I don't feel like I know enough. I saw reactions on Twitter and it seems like in general, I feel bad for the players who were close to Christ and had heartbreak over that. Then they also lost a teammate. Like this has been a rough season emotionally for very young men. And now to lose another coach that they actually saw some success with this week. But from a fan standpoint or a Badger fan at this standpoint, good move, bad move?
It's tricky to judge this, and I think ultimately it's a good move, but it's very un-Wisconsin move. That's, I think, the big takeaway. I suspect in the Barry Alvarez era as his athletic directorship that this kind of thing wouldn't have happened. That that Jim Leonard is very much a program guy, that Wisconsin's MO, outside of a few exceptions to this, Gary Anderson was an outsider, and I think that actually put them back on the insider track. But the program usually keeps a Wisconsin person who can build a strong running game and a strong defense as the person running the show. And they do that because I think that they think in the back of their minds that they're not necessarily going to compete for big names all the time, and that the one time they did it, a guy left for a different, if not necessarily better, job. However, the landscape has changed a ton in college football since Barry was in charge of everything. The main, aside from now that you can pay players through the name, image, and likeness clause, the Big Ten is changing. In 2024, they're adding USC and UCLA to the Big Ten.
Which is crazy.
And they're likely to do away with divisions at that point. Wisconsin gets a huge bump in their competitiveness from the fact that they play in the worst division of the Big Ten, where they're clearly the best program. Minnesota's made great strides with PJ Fleck. They're good too. But they tend to be among the best of the worst teams in the Big Ten. And it kind of gives them an easy route to the Big Ten championship game. And if they get lucky there and beat Ohio State or whoever makes it, they have a much easier path than most teams to an upper tier bowl. That's going away. In 2024, it's very likely that the Big Ten will eliminate divisions. And so to compete for a title in it, you'll have to beat Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and the big teams on the other side of the bracket. They probably weren't going to be able to do that the traditional way. And I like Jim Leonard a lot. I think he is a defensive genius. I think he will get another job very easily. But I'm not sure about his recruiting. I'm not sure that he can bring in high-level talent. He hasn't really done that before. And he's part of Wisconsin's current recruiting. He's their defensive coordinator, and they've had trouble with it. So I know that some people were reacting that this looks like, on the outside, maybe an overreaction to their loss to Minnesota, to a little bit of an uninspiring end of the year. I don't really think that's the case. I think this is a broader look from Wisconsin itself at the future, and in probably needing a guy who can recruit at an elite level, which Luke Fickell can and has done. And, now that you can actually offer people money, you need to develop a program that offers people money to come to your school. That's just the reality of college football now. He has experience bringing in elite level talent, elite quarterbacks, elite skill position players. So it's probably a good move for Wisconsin. And I think he's going to be a name that Green Bay looks at seriously because they wanted him before. I think that maybe they feel spurned, but I don't think football teams really operate that way.
Yeah.
But Leonard's a really, really, really good defensive mind. And if I think doing his specialty at the NFL level may fit a little bit better than college anyway. The problem in college is you run against just super great offenses where you're overmatched all the time. Mm-hmm. Your scheme doesn't really matter when that happens. The NFL is more compact. Scheme matters a lot more. And I think he can do good work there. So I won't be surprised if he ends up there. I think that they'll certainly give him a call and let him know they're interested.
It's good timing, potentially.
It is. It honestly is good timing. I don't know if they'll do anything mid-season because schemes are hard to implement, but I guarantee they've already given him a call and said, hey, we see you're free. Just, talk to us before you do anything.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right. Well, all interesting stuff. But when does your next episode of Reporting as Eligible come out?
We recorded that on Tuesday nights, posted on Wednesday morning. Okay. For everybody to listen to. So that's always there. And then I usually do a breakdown of the game too, that posts on Friday morning as well. So
perfect.
And the upcoming game.
And people can find Paul at Badger Noonan on Twitter. Anywhere else that people should look out for you?
No, I suppose I should probably move to some alternative sites though. I am. Anywhere I go, that'll be my name. I actually do have a Mastodon account that I never use, and I have a co-host one and a Hive one, but we'll see where anything lands. Don't use them too much yet.
That is the whole now of where do I go? What do I build? There's already so many things that I'm trying to
keep tabs of. We need to see where everybody else goes first.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll probably get you back before the end of the season.
Sounds good. Thanks again for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, what makes a job good? We want to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Yeah. Sports go sports. Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged, and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive. Locally owned and putting you and the community first.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Ahoy, Wisconsin. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, a new Native American theme show live weekdays from 6 to 7 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7. Each day, activists and newsmakers will provide updates on protecting Mother Earth. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Join us for our Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake weeknights at 6 p.m. on Devil Radio 92.7.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. November 28th is Snow Plow Driver Appreciation Day in Wisconsin, and it is an excellent opportunity to remind motorists to give snow plow drivers plenty of space to complete their job safely. They work hard throughout the days and nights of winter to clear our roads and keep us as safe as possible during our winter season. The governor and the DOT are asking drivers to plan ahead and check for road conditions using the 511wi.gov website or download the 511 app. Buckle up, phone down, every trip, every time. Stay at least 200 feet behind a working snowplow. If you cannot see their mirrors, they cannot see you. The City of Wisconsin Rapids is asking for feedback on a community rail traffic survey taking place until December 30th. In response to concerns about delays at rail crossings, a feasibility study is being conducted to address these delays and reduce congestion, noise, pollution, and safety issues at rail crossings. Visit wirapids.org to take the survey. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a high of 41. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance for snow showers, lows dip down to about 33. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, mixed precipitation likely, high of 41. A dusting of snow tomorrow night through Wednesday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently it's 41.
To go to, quote, better jobs. I think whenever politicians are talking about bringing good jobs, simultaneously, we still have record unemployment, though that might change as all of the interest hikes from the Fed start to actually slow down the economy, which is what they're trying to do. Well, I guess there's a lot of people who've been laid off recently, and maybe the unemployment rate in San Francisco right now is not the same. But I think this is an idea a lot that we talk about. What is a job versus a good job? Do you have a definition for what do you think a good job is?
It's certainly not just about money.
I mean,
money is a critical component, and feeling like you are being compensated fairly for what you're doing, I think, is really important. Being seen sounds like such a silly thing, but it's having your voice recognized, or at least feeling like you are bringing something to the organization and they recognize that you are bringing something to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell people every day, I really appreciate you, but there has to be something there to back that up. And it's not always money. It can be really little things. Right?
Yeah. What do you think, Brooke? What do you think a good job is? The job you have right now.
Right. Yeah, of course.
The best job. Best job in the world, Brooklyn, of course.
We kind of talked about this when you were gone. Like, it was more so like, what does Gen Z think is, like, what do they want out of work and stuff like that? And I feel like the biggest thing has always been a job that can just kind of be understanding of like where Gen Z is at. And Gen Z is now, I feel like, in this place of like, we had to go through the pandemic and like either working from home or doing school from home, and then like having to like get thrown back into normal life, I feel like caused this like big like mindset shift of like, I need a job that, and I think we've also talked about this with you, a job that will, like Jane said, compensate me for the work that I'm doing, but also allow me to be flexible. Because I think a lot of Gen Zers want to work remotely. I said before, I feel the opposite of that because I have, my ADHD is too severe. I need to be at my place of work. Otherwise, I get too distracted.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what makes a good job to someone my age is a job that's flexible. And also, I think there's this new like social climate of like they have to have certain rules in place and ideals that will not have any room for discrimination or treating people differently for any reason. Cause I think that's like what's become most important to young people is like flexibility and also like where do you stand on certain issues? So
it's interesting. And do you feel that, cause I wonder how much of that attitude, I want to get back. Cause I think do we have a call? All right. We'll take a call in just a second. But the pickiness of it all, mm-hmm. or that stereotype of being picky or not being hard workers, certainly started with millennials,
mm-hmm.
and people making, you know, tons of think pieces about millennials and how we just don't want to work and blah, blah, blah. But it's that's interesting. And so who's on the phone?
We have Al on the phone from Milwaukee. Go ahead, Al.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. A good job is something that's completed and of quality.
A good job is something that's completed and of quality?
That's correct. A career is something that you go to because you enjoy what you do.
Oh, interesting. So you think there's a difference even between a job versus a career, and then a job is just something that you have to pay the bills?
That's correct.
That's interesting. Do you think that changes as far as what we should be as individuals or as a society trying to create more of?
Most of us have worked jobs basically to do what you said, pay the bills. It's not something we enjoy doing. It's something that we need in order to take care of our basic needs, of paying bills to sustain ourselves. A career is something you train for and you become efficient at it, but you enjoy it. You don't have to use an alarm clock to get up to go to work every day. Basically, you get up because you know that you haven't completed something and you got to keep going to it to make it be the best that it can be. My grandfather once told me when I was 12 years old, he said, always do your best and then shut up.
Did you follow that advice?
Yes, I did. If you do your best at whatever you do, you don't have to talk about your work. Your work will speak for you.
That is very good advice. I would agree with that. So thanks so much for the call, Al. And I think that's it. There's a great Chris Rock joke that he talks about a career versus a job, and he goes, "A job is the situation where you take your bathroom break, even when you don't have to go to the bathroom. you're just trying to get the time to pass." Which I have certainly had those jobs, but I thought about this a little bit because. And I don't think this is the criteria for a good job. I think this is the criteria of a great job and maybe what Al was just talking about, which is a career, is that I missed my job while I was gone. And I missed you guys. And but not just that, but it's obviously the relationships I have at my job, but also the act of doing it and the challenge of doing it and the people I get to talk to. And I think I'm in a very... You know, not everyone gets to have that feeling. I think a lot of people would like to not have to come back from vacation. But I certainly, by the end, was feeling I'm ready to get back because I actually like what I do. And so it's interesting because I don't know if that concept is, and granted, career versus job, there's maybe, like Al said, I think that's an interesting point. Of those of us who pursue something that we're passionate about or something that we're really good at or something that can, you know, feels like you can take a lot of pride in because it, you think it provides value. And then there's jobs that are jobs.
Yes.
But as you, we were saying, like the pickiness of it all. Mm-hmm. And if we have low unemployment rates and we have also a young workforce that doesn't necessarily feel that same pressure for whatever reason. And is it because there's so many digital remote jobs now? There's data entry and graphic designers and social media managers, and there's a lot of stuff that you can do freelance now. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the numbers of how much that is, how people are piecemealing their work together or the gig economy and stuff like that. But obviously there is a shift as far as how many people there are to do some of the jobs that just need to get done type jobs. And so I think it's interesting to think about this definition that I found this article that was the Aspen Institute Economic Opportunities Program and the Families and Workers Fund basically launched a group called the Good Jobs Champions Group. And they attempted to kind of try to create an evidence-based, worker-informed definition of what makes a good job. And so they talked to leaders from across sectors, small and large businesses, labor, workforce development, finance, academia, policy, and talk to all these different people to try to synthesize different definitions of job quality and did all this polling. And so basically what they were able to come up with was there's three different things that go into a quote, good job. So a good job provides one, economic stability, two, economic mobility, and three, equity, respect, and voice, which I feel like is kind of what you guys both, a little bit of what you both said,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that obviously economic stability, meaning you only need this one job to afford your life, right? I kind of let's see like how that's
sure.
Like a stability in providing your standard of living. But then mobility is through like equitable hiring, opportunities to learn in advance and like actually be able to grow and also like make more money and like have earn wealth over time versus just living paycheck to paycheck. And then the last one I think is what you were talking about, Jane, which is like the respect and also what you said, like the respect as far as your actual work, but also the hierarchy and things not getting, like, they're not being racism, they're not being sexism, like, certain, like, the actual culture is more inclusive. So I don't know, is that a good working definition?
I would say so.
I think it's great. And again, I think going back to what Al said, you know, a career is different than just a job, but not everyone is going to go down a career path. Not everyone has that passion that, is going to carry them through, you know what I mean? I like to make silly, crafty things that would never have paid for my bills.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is just a job that needs to get done, then I think employers really have to look at that. And it's got to be the opportunity for some economic mobility.
Well, and it's also, I feel like on the campaign trail for mayor, trying to think of what was the exact, Mayor Johnson, family, it wasn't family, I forgot the term that he used, because I think there is a difference between, there's obviously a lot of jobs, which is why, you know, the narrative of nobody wants to work anymore. It's like, well, no one wants to work your crappy job where you're a bad boss.
And the money is terrible.
Or the money's not terrible, but the expectations on you are not realistic. There's a TikTok creator who basically does dramatic readings of bad bosses. So people submit to him email exchanges or text exchanges they've had with their boss. And this guy plays up the narrative, like he acts out the story basically of the text exchange back and forth, and some of these bosses are just awful, and the intimidation that they do, the beg, like it's like there was one that I remember distinctly of someone who had put everything into place for him to take vacation for Thanksgiving, or no, it was a wedding. Actually, this was great. Now I'm remembering the whole thing. So he had put months in advance, this was my time that I was going to take off, and you knew that this was coming, but it wasn't, the reason why the project wasn't done wasn't his fault. It was because someone else hadn't finished it. And it's a back and forth with his boss, and his boss is using every book, like every play in the playbook as far as what he's trying to intimidate him, threaten him, bribe him, and he keeps saying that he keeps making this threat of going their boss, or like the manager, like the owner or whatever, and the guy who's the actual worker and the employee keeps holding his boundary, keeps like saying, going back and forth of why this is not, he's not coming into work,
right?
It's like, I am already in Hawaii,
right,
for this wedding,
not coming back.
And lo and behold, the boss was at that same wedding.
You're kidding me.
That's so funny. The guy who, he was like the best man and the father of the bride was the boss.
Oh.
Like, so if you really want to take it up with him, you can. It was a great unfolding. But even without that and like the end of the story, the things that this boss, I can never imagine. And I've managed a lot of people in my life, and maybe I'm a soft boss, but I could never imagine the threats that were being exchanged in a text thread with someone who you were the one who screwed up, and like they did everything by the books, and just because you know that your butt's on the line because the thing didn't get done, that you're making it their problem even though they did everything correctly. And I think there's a lot of jobs that are out there that are like that, and people just don't want, like, there's more and more opportunity now, so people just don't have to put up with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I have quite a few stories, and I was like, I should submit my text messages to that guy and see if he reads them. I definitely have some stories.
Maybe we'll tell some at the when we come back from the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket.
Welcome back to me, to the audience, against all of you. Happy to be back. Good to know that I can still do this.
Yes, absolutely.
Did not forget.
No, went quick, too.
But yeah, it did go by quickly. We're talking about good jobs, bad jobs. What's the definition of a good job? And we just said some of the crazy stories of bosses you have to put up with. Brooklyn, what's one of your stories?
This was more annoying than I would say crazy, but I just couldn't believe my ears. Like, I just remember the look on my face when this happened. So basically, I was a manager of a place. And
keep it vague.
Yeah. The rules were, if you needed to take off for any reason, 2 weeks in advance. I never took off. I was there all the time when I didn't have to be, doing too much for your job that doesn't care about you. That was me. But I was like, I need the money, whatever. And I had a sense of like, oh, I'm a manager, so this is what you're supposed to do. So a couple other people that worked there had taken off, and I think it was for a holiday or something. And then I was like, you know, I should put my request in now, like 2.5 weeks in advance. So I'm like, it's enough time. It's like 17, 18 days. And so I come to work the next morning after submitting my request online, and the energy was as if I was a child that did something very bad. They would not speak to me. Look at me, and I'm just like, what is going on here? Did something happen? And then I don't know where one of my bosses goes, I have to talk to you. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, we're going to go over our new attendance policy. And also, since you're a manager, you need to give us 4 to 6 weeks in advance if you need off. And by the way, I requested off for 2 days. That's it. 2 days. And I was just like, I was so shocked. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, okay, like I just was so taken aback, and I called my mom, and my mom was furious. She was so mad. But I just, after that, I mean, I stopped working there shortly after that, but yeah. It was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, the policy changes all of a sudden. I think they were just upset that a lot of people were taking off for the holidays,
and they're like, what are we gonna do?
Yeah
But that's on them. I feel like that's on them. If you,
I agree.
Is it a shift, was it a shift type employment where you have to be in person? It's not.
Yeah, but it varied. Like, my schedule changed all the time. So I was like, I'm just going to put this in so, just in case they schedule me on these 2 days. But it wasn't guaranteed that I would even be working those 2 days.
Mm.
And it was like, and it was barely 2 days. It was like a day and a half, I think. I was like, what is happening?
Well, and unless you're a brain surgeon, I just don't understand the policy. Nobody can take, we need 4 to 6 weeks because what you do is so critically important. And I'm not trying to imply that what you did was not important,
it
but
it really
you weren't
was
a stand,
not all that important.
You weren't a standby brain surgeon, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What I do get is, all right, if we have a business, we are hoping to make money during the holiday season with that business, being more upfront, transparent, and saying, this is the fair system that we've created of who can take off during the holiday season because we're expecting to be open, but to not do that 2 weeks before the holiday season and wait for someone to start requesting off to realize that it's going to be a problem, I would argue is on the ownership or whoever your bosses were versus, because I mean, it is, it's just, you have to think, think about last week when, you know, Jane, you came in basically alone to do the news, but none of us were here and had something happened or whatever. And just the, like, you, when you're running a business, you're running a business and you need to be proactive of starting to think about how you want that business to run when it's the holidays and the expectation is a lot of people are going to want to take off during that time. I remember working in sales, and if you worked in sales and your fiscal year matched up with the calendar year, how many salespeople you have just going, you know, unless they've hit their quota earlier in the year, but who are trying to get not only end of quarter, but end of year deals done, and just the craziness that that creates of trying to get a hold of people as your client, like you're on the client side of trying to get them to sign the stuff that they need to get signed so we can hit our number and hit our, like, you know, revenue numbers and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, that was never fun as far as maybe we shouldn't have had our fiscal year end with the calendar year, because that was a choice. No one forced us to do that.
Yeah, that was, you made it harder for yourselves.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like this is probably a ripe topic that we can continue to talk about as bad bosses, good jobs. What's a good job? What's a bad job? What's the point of creating a definition of a good job as far as how the role that plays in society and what we should try to be creating and working towards instead of just creating more crappy jobs?
Yeah. And because there's always going to be crappy jobs.
There are going to be crappy jobs.
Yes.
What was a thistle line picker?
Thistle picker on the P line.
Thistle picker on the P line.
Yeah.
I can't even say it twice.
It was a glorious experience.
All right. Well, good first show back.
So glad you're back.
I'm so glad I'm back.
Glad you had a wonderful honeymoon.
Yeah, we did have a wonderful honeymoon. I'm very happy to be back. Tomorrow, I don't even know what we have to. Well, tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
So if you have anything, any organization that you plan on giving to, if you run an organization that you would like us to hype up, we are going to spend a fair amount of time tomorrow talking about different ways to donate, different local organizations to donate to, reading off any of your text messages of what nonprofit you think deserves people's attention and or dollars.
And who are your favorites?
You know? I mean, I feel like I think about this every year, like where to, I want to give. Probably can't give to everybody. And so like, where do you prioritize? Cause there's so many different causes that I feel like I care about. But also knowing where the money goes and knowing all of the overhead and who's making the biggest impact and all of those different things. And so tomorrow we'll spend a certain enough time talking about, Giving Tuesday.
Yes.
I also want to talk about this theater review of Cats.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
That I am, speaking of dramatic interpretations, I think my brother might join us to talk to us about what happened with FTX and the crypto thing that imploded and who's involved. And we'll see what else. But for now, I think that'll about do it for us today. But stick around to listen to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Bryant or the Chad Holmes Show. And otherwise, come back tomorrow when As Goes Wisconsin will be live again.
And I know what a scene you were learning in. Was there something that made you come back again? And what could ever lead you?
What could ever lead you?
Back here where we need you.
Back here where Grandma, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl. Dolphin? What does the turkey say?
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gov.
/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway
WFHR,
Traffic Safety
Administration. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place